So today, we want to keep one question in mind. What is the gift that is greater than all else? What is the gift that is greater than all else? Today's Mother's Day, Good Shepherd Sunday also, very special day. We celebrate love today, but it's not just any kind of love. It's an incredible, selfless love that we experience from our mothers, or hopefully we experience from our mothers. It's that love that is shared with us through examples of God's love, especially through Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus goes to Jerusalem and says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks." And there's other examples too in Scripture of that incredible nature of that selfless love as Jesus makes his way to the capital and beyond to the cross. It's love that is lifted up. And I am afraid sometimes we all take that mother's love, the Savior's love too, for granted. We don't think about it perhaps often enough. While our mothers are living, we may take their love for granted, and then when they pass away and they're gone, maybe we concentrate on that and realize what's missing. It's a love that spurs humility. If you think about the selflessness of a mother's love, if we really contemplate what that means, it should spur humility in our hearts and in our minds. In a sense, we don't deserve that kind of love, but that kind of love is otherworldly. It's something that is a gift that is placed upon women throughout the world, I believe, by God. Their ability to raise children that sometimes aren't always the best behaviors in the world. A mother's love. Last year we sang a song, "A Mother's Love Has No End." And that's very true. As this year we lifted up the Good Shepherd, and Brody read for us the words of the Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd's song. That love isn't too far apart from one another, at least in a spiritual sense. So once again, the gift. What is the gift that is greater than all else? Well, I'll give you a hint. The gift doesn't come easy. It's not an easy kind of a gift. It has a great cost. All you have to do is look over there at that cross and realize what that cross represents, the suffering, the agony, but then the great gift. And to that great gift, there is no equal. There is no equal. In our own lives, we might try to mirror and reflect the incredible love, this great gift, the gift that is greater than all else. And on our good days, we might get close to matching it. A lot of days, well, we just fall short as we go about our lives and we don't pay attention. Let's go to our first reading for today. We read about a character in Scripture, a person in Scripture, a woman in Scripture named Tabitha. We read there in Acts chapter 9 that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. There's an example of a woman who is giving her all, who is taking her life and molding it in such a way that she is trying to mirror that gift that is greater than all else. And she mirrors that gift through the work of her hands, through the things that she produces. She's devoted to good works and acts of charity, but then Tabitha dies, and there are all the widows standing beside Peter, who has shown up. And what are they doing? They're weeping and they're showing these tunics, these things that this woman has worked on in her life, and other clothing that the Tabitha, Dorcas in the Greek, that she made while she was with them. And so there's kind of a bitter story here. It's a bittersweet story. And that here's this woman who has passed away. She's died. She was so loved. She was so valuable. She was so needed. But the story doesn't end here. The story doesn't end. It's not just a sad story about a woman who did a whole bunch of work for the Lord and then she passed away. This is about something different today. And Peter goes to Tabitha and simply says, "Tabitha, get up." Now you notice that Peter doesn't go to her and say, "Tabitha, get up." There's no exclamation point there. just a period. And so it's just, Tabitha, get up. Through Peter, God's love, God's promises given in that gentle, loving manner over and over again. It's not all of a sudden as though the heavens were torn and the clouds came down and the sky filled with all kinds of lightning and light. It was just, Tabitha, get up. And Tabitha got up. And Peter gave her his hand and helped her up. He showed her to be alive. Verse 41, he showed her to be alive. And so here we receive a great clue. We receive a great answer. As a matter of fact, it's pretty much just picked up and thrown in our faces. What is the gift that is greater than all else? What is the gift that the woman gives to the world in a biological sense? What is the gift that God gives to the world in an eternal spiritual sense? Tabitha, get up. And so when we read this first reading, we draw hope from it. We draw hope from it. And the Christian message is that death of the physical object that we walk around in every day is simply a temporary severing. It's as though that person has left us for just a little while. And we are looking for that day of the resurrection to come when we all will experience the gift that is greater than all else. It's where the Good Shepherd leads us. It's where God takes us. It's what Jesus Christ points at. The cost is great. This woman gave her all, this Tabitha, in her life, her ministry, because she realized that through the things that she did, she could share her life. Ah, there's a word, life. Let's go to our gospel lesson for today. Once again, the question that is before us, what is the gift that is greater than all else? And it isn't until the gift is removed, at least in a physical sense, that maybe we might begin to realize the incredible nature of why the gift is great and why the promise is great. And so we go to our gospel and we listen to Jesus' words as he talks to these people who just refuse to hear. Why do you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah? I have told you and you do not believe, responds Jesus. What? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. That's it. Of course, where do we go to receive the answer to the question, what is the gift that is greater than all else? It's in our gospel for today. Of course, it's the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. Right there, in the 29th verse, John chapter 10, verse 29. What is the gift that is greater than all else? What my Father has given me is greater than all else. What has the Father given Jesus? The ability to go to the cross, to face the cross, to die on the cross, but not stay on the cross, not stay in the tomb. We are in the midst of the Easter season, and so it's no joke. We are in the midst of the season of resurrection. The season of eternal life. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives us the gift of life. And gives us the gift of life eternal. Now I know. Some of you are out there saying, well, Pastor, that all sounds really nice. That all sounds really easy. What if life is a grind? What if life is hard? What if life is suffering? What if life is doubt? What if there's just certain days, Pastor, when I would just rather not be alive? What's your answer then? My answer is what's in the second reading for today. The Bible can take our punches. The Bible can take our blows. The Bible can take our pain. God's word can return to us. We read there in verse 10, salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. But who are the people that are gathered around the throne? Are they the selfish? Are they the prideful? Are they the ones that had life easy? Are they the wealthy or the politically connected? Are they the ones that on their own somehow figured it all out so that they belong there, standing before that throne of God? Are they the ones that weren't sinful? Are they the ones that weren't sometimes downcast and downfallen? No. Right there, we read it in verse 14. I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. To who are these people? Who are these people that are gathered before the throne of God? Sir, you are the one who knows. These are the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. What an amazing answer. What an incredible answer. God could have said anything. God could have said, well, this is the tribe of Israel. You know, they are the chosen people. And I chose them from of old, and the rest of you, well, you just got to claw and scratch and figure it out for yourself. He could have said, you know what? These are the good people. These are the ones who listened. These are the ones who paid attention. These are the ones who didn't have a rowdy childhood, but instead kept their nose in the book and came to Sunday school every Sunday, not because their parents made them, but because they wanted to. And boy, I think there could be a message there for the adults as well. Huh? You know, that all God could have said all those things. And from our human perspective, we would have went, yep, that's right. That sounds right. But instead, what does God do? God always surprises us. Or we should see this as a surprise. These are the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. That's you. That's me. We all suffer through a great ordeal in our lives in one way or another. There they are in the book of Revelation, gathered before the throne of God, and that is the answer. The ones who have come out of the great ordeal almost sounds like motherhood, doesn't it? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb because salvation belongs to our God. And where are they? Day and night within the temple, in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of God. And just in case we didn't get it the first time, just in case our minds glossed over it, or we decided that maybe we didn't want to believe the first time, we go to verse 17. He will guide them, these people. He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is said more than once, folks. This is said more than once, that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You've heard me preach this probably again and again and again. Think of the grace. Think of the love. Think of the incredible nature of this relationship we have with God. That even though we may have tears in our eyes, yes, gathered before the throne of God, God doesn't discard us or say, well, you just didn't have enough faith. That's humans talking. That's the devil talking. That's the world trying to separate us from the love of God, which is incredible and transforms us. Instead, what does God say? It's because salvation belongs to me, and because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been given the gift from the Father that is greater than all else, I am going to wipe away the tears from your eyes. Oh, and by the way, here's your mom. Say hi. That is our future. That is who we are as Christians. That is the great and wonderful message for today. We put our faith and our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. because he gives us the good message and he shares with us the gift that is greater than all else. And so it's not too much of a difference, is there, when we celebrate a mother's love and we celebrate Jesus' love? Both of those loves are undying. No matter what may happen to this frail human body, that love is undying and lives on. May we share that love with one another. May we share that love with one another through the good times, through the bad times, when we're laughing, when we're sad. May we be there for one another. After all, it's God's love. It's a mother's love. Amen.